and they sparked these fires that have been burning for decades now, like 100 years or more. Mm-hmm. And now
they have fracking to add
to
the mess.
There's a lot of fracking activity going on. So that's another line of inquiry I'm really interested in. I don't like to peg myself as a writer, but environmental concerns are really huge for me. And I think I tried to weave some of that into the memoir.
This has been Jay Thiemeyer talking with Justin Hawking, who recently got recognition for his wonderful book, The Great Floodgates of the Wonder World. He won recognition in the form of the Oregon Cultural or the Oregon Literary Arts Award for Creative Nonfiction. And we definitely are looking forward to more recognition, and we'll look for the new books.
Jay, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real honor to talk to you. I really appreciate it.
It's been wonderful. Yeah. Thank you very much.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. Hosted by Colorado-based Yonder Mountain String Band, this year's festival includes bands such as Grinsky's Bluegrass, The Infamous String Dusters, Keller Williams' Grateful Grass, Sook Twins, and more. There will also be a late-night stage, an early-morning Cascadia stage, and daytime movies and seminars. Again, that's the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. More information about the festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Think of this as the beginning. You can't change the game, but you can change the rules, your personal rules. You can construct a new set of options that govern how you will react to and interact with others, as well as how you view and treat yourself. So together, let's create new standards by which you will conduct yourself, and therefore transform the way you experience each moment of your life. Think of it as a new set of tools that will allow you to shape the future you desire. That is, after all, what tools are for, right? With all the skill in the world, a carpenter can't really build a table without the proper saws, drills, sanders, nails, and more. Now, here's an important distinction. Without these tools, is he or she less of a carpenter? Less capable? Less worthy of respect? No. Simply a carpenter who can't create a table today. Many of the people I work with are under the impression that they're not good at what they do because the results don't reflect the success they desire. Often it doesn't take much time to reveal that each person has been attempting to achieve results without the proper tools, or with no tools at all. A carpenter who wonders why the table can't be built with just bare hands.
Good morning.
Have very little power over your boss and the government, your significant other, your neighbors, or any of the other billions of people inhabiting the earth, but you do have the ultimate power over yourself and your reaction to every moment of every day. And if the journey that you're on is not the one you desire and you want to change it, you have to begin by changing I. It all begins with I.
Good morning. This is Patricia Welch.
And O.B. Hill.
You're listening to Black Book Talk, and you just heard the voice of Stuart K. Robinson. He is the author of It All Begins With I, The New Rules of Thinking and the Simple Secrets to Living a Rich, Joyous, and Fulfilled Life. Welcome to Black Book Talk.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You know, I'm told that you were in town recently, and I'm very, very sorry I missed you. We missed you, but I hope you had a good experience being in Portland. Was it last week?
It was last week, and I had a great experience. Apparently, it was perfect weather,
yes.
So it was the right way to see Portland, and I'm glad I did.
Okay, and you are apparently just going here, going there, and buzzing around the country.
Yeah, I'm on a tour signing my new book at different bookstores, and what I call it is I'm going around giving people back their dreams. It was really interesting going to Portland. I met a lot of different people, this one who works as a computer program, and this one who's in the medical field, and this one who's in transportation, and they all then postscripted what they do by saying, oh, and I'm also a musician, oh, I write songs, oh, I'm a playwright, oh, I'm also an actress, etc. And it just made it very clear that there's a lot of dreamers in Portland, and a lot of those people have started to feel like their dream isn't going to come, and they're going to be stuck with that day job, with that survival job. And what I'm trying to do with my book is give people the power back to take their dreams and make them a reality.
Okay, now I'm going to say, all right, what gives you the authority to do this? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you felt that you could write this book, give this advice.
Yeah, I don't single myself out as anything special, but I like everyone else, I've dealt with struggle, and I had to come to terms with belief. It's funny, I chose, I wanted to hear a little bit of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, even back when I was a very young child, that song was relevant, because you just sometimes look up and say, what is going on? And I grew up in an environment where I wasn't expected to succeed. Being an African-American male, I was told by my community, what you have to say isn't all that important. And then, you know, years later, you still see that things are going on that you can't believe. And today you turn on the news and you go, what? Is this still happening in our lifetime? And through my life, I have had the opportunity, because I was gifted the ability to believe that I can accomplish anything. I was given so many opportunities to excel at so many different things, and then became sort of a counselor to different people and individuals and companies. And with each person I counsel, the bottom line is that people are looking for someone to blame for why they haven't achieved their dreams. And what I point out to them is the only person that stops us from achieving our dreams is us. So I used myself as an example of overcoming all kinds of adversity to live the life I want to live. And I'm just helping other people do the same.
Now, is this the first book that you've published? I see you have a Tall Fella Press here. Is that an interest that you have a business interest in?
No. Tall Fella Press read the first draft of my book and graciously came on board and said, we want to promote this. We think it's a great message. So I'm very happy about that. I have one other book that I wrote earlier called Lessons of the Game that's also online and available in bookstores. But this is just the result of the many hours of counseling and helping people and giving people back their power that I've done. And Tall Fella Press found interest in it, and they're promoting it as best they can.
Okay, now when you sit down and write this book based on your life experiences, your ups and downs, how long do you focus on various aspects of it? I see you have a list of different rules of thinking, and right. So how do you go about this process?
Well, for me, it was very simple. I sat down in front of the keyboard and I said, what would be the quickest way to help people take back their power? And it occurred to me that, you know, society makes rules and the government makes rules and your family makes rules and your friends make rules and your significant other has a lot of rules that you need to follow if this is going to work. And what we find is that those rules don't really help the individual find the joy and the success they want. So I said, What are the essential rules that I can follow that will bring me more joy and more success? So I came up with these 14 new rules of thinking that are not rules for you. They're not rules for others. They're not rules for my family. They're rules for me. They're rules. They're a standard of living that I will live by that will help me enjoy every moment more and more. And it just poured out. It just came out rule after rule. I went, oh, these are the real rules, not the old rules, not the ones that don't work, but the new rules of thinking that are going to get people where they want to go.
Tell us about some of your rules. Now, I definitely want you to talk about number 5. I will make decisions based on what I love rather than what I fear. But if there are just one or two others that you want to specifically share with our audience.
I'll come back to that. One of the big rules that I like to talk about, and people seem to really, it resonates with them, I have a rule that says, I will fire the announcer. And people always say, what does that mean, fire the announcer? And what I tell them is, for most of us, 24/7, there's a voice in our heads talking to us nonstop, over and over again. This voice telling us what's going on, commenting on what's happening, etc. And most of the people that I meet, and myself included, many times that voice in our head doesn't speak to us very nicely. It throws in words that really are hurtful to us. It tells us that we're stupid. It tells us that we're unworthy. It tells us that we're not good enough. It tells us that people don't like us. And that voice continues to sort of push us down and beat us down. And we think that voice is us, that it's wiser thinking, that it's our soul. But actually, that voice, just like when you watch a baseball game on TV, that's just the announcer commenting on what's going on in your life. So imagine if 24/7 you have someone who's talking to you and telling you that you're not enough and you're not good enough and you can't win and it's hopeless and other people are to blame. Of course, you're going to start to put out actions and results that match that. So my advice, and this rule is very simple, fire the announcer. You don't need someone to tell you that the batter swung and missed at the pitch. You just saw that and experienced it. So you got to rule out all those thoughts in your head that are just commentary and don't need to be a part of the process. And instead, listen only to the coach, because you have a coach in your head also who's giving you instruction on how to succeed, how to win, how to create better strategies. So that rule says fire the announcer, listen to the coach.
Okay. Tell us about another one.
You brought up, I will make decisions based on love rather than what I fear.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in life do we move forward because of what we fear? You can see it in the news today. All the headlines, take any headline that you're seeing where things are going really crazy in the world, and you'll see that that's people acting out of fear. It's them acting out of fear that they're going to lose something, or that mm-hmm. their way of life is going to be challenged, or other people are going to start dictating what they want. And instead, the goal for each of us is to make decisions and create actions based on our passions, based on what we love.
Absolutely.
The more we have self-love and the more we understand the power that we have to control our experience, the less fear we have in our lives and therefore the less adversity. So when you make a decision, if you pause and say, am I making this decision because I'm afraid of something, or am I making this decision because I'm passionate about something and I have love in my heart about this, when you make those decisions, you tend to not go wrong.
Absolutely.
What type of educational background do you have in terms of your family and other significant teachers that brought you to this particular reality or approach to facing the problems in life?
Yeah, I was very lucky, and I think some of your listeners share this thing. I was the youngest child of three in my family, and my brother and sister were both just naturally very intelligent people. So by the time I was two or three, they had already taught me to read and I could write, etc. So by the time I got into school, like in kindergarten, I was way ahead of the other kids in my class and was already starting to ask deeper questions and read books and take things in. So I got a really good early start on life. But most of my education really just came from being in the trenches. You know, I work in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles. I started as an actor and then became a director and a producer and now own a talent agency and CEO of a couple companies. I try to fill every day, every minute of every day with lots of opportunity, and every one of those opportunities is a learning experience. I call it my university of life. So having done so many things and still to this day having so many jobs and so many associates that I work with, there's a lesson in every moment, and I'm hoping to learn something from the two of you today as well.
Well, it was fascinating to me. When the show started, you were saying, you talked about the people who you met who said, you know, I do this and that, but I love blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And as I was reading the information on you, I was struck that you are absolutely a Renaissance man. You are an actor and acting coach and blah, blah, blah. And you've mentioned some things that aren't even documented in the materials that I have.
Right.
So tell us about that. I mean, what leads you to go from this to that to that? I mean, you could be an actor, but you're an acting coach, and I get the impression that you've produced some things, not only nationally, but internationally. So I know that probably some of our audience have seen you, you know, in plays or films or whatever, commercials, the whole shot. So just tell us a little bit more about you, because you are living a very full life.
Yeah, I got very passionate. I'm interested in everything. It's funny, when I, you know, sometimes they mail you those brochures of college courses that are going on in your area, and still at my age, I look at those and I go, oh, I'd love to take this class, and I'd love to take that class, and I'd love to go to cooking school. But I got really interested in the arts and attended a very strong drama program in my high school, and immediately became a working actor, and I worked hard at it, and I was able to do some great stuff. I worked with some of the top artists in the film industry. I had a prominent role in the Rocky movies. I was Rocky's assistant trainer in Rocky II. And then I got into commercials and started doing hundreds of commercials, and the one that people are most always most intrigued by is I was lucky enough to be the Purple Grapes in the Fruit of the Loom commercials for 3 years. So that was fun, and I got to see a lot of the world and wear the grape costume. It was fun.
Wait a minute, you went around the world being a grape? It wasn't just the TV commercial?
Yeah, we did the commercials, but we also did personal appearances, live appearances. So we went to the New York Stock Exchange once and almost shut the place down because, you know, when four guys in fruit costumes walk in, people tend to notice. So that was fun, and I was able to be the Kool-Aid pitcher for a number of years, bursting through walls and saying, oh, yeah. So it's been an interesting career doing film and television and theater, and then I started directing, and then I started writing, and then I started composing. And what I realized down the line, and I think a lot of that you must share this as well, that people ask you what you do, and you might say I'm a radio personality, but really what you do is share valuable information with your community. And what I want to do is just inspire people. I want to inspire people to do better, whether it's public speaking or with my book or through my acting or through my music or through my writing or in the business world. I just want to inspire people to do better, because I think as people get inspired to do better, they're going to take better care of the world that my children are going to live in. And I want to leave them a legacy that is a better chance than we had even to have a great life.
You know, I was laughing. I was really delighted to hear about you being the grape in the pitcher, because I used to work with a company that had a clown whose name was Ronald as one of their major mascots, one of their major. And what I didn't realize is the guy who is Ronald McDonald makes a whole bunch of money. That youngsters who are thinking about things to do don't even realize there are all kinds of professional possibilities, life possibilities that you really can't even think about. And yet you can, somebody has to do them. It can be a lot of fun, and you can be paid. Now, if somebody asked me, I'd say I'm a librarian, because that's what I am. When I'm talking to young people, I always remind them that in addition to whatever they see, you know, your public library, your academic library, somebody is the librarian at Disney World. And from what I hear, the librarian at Disney World is doing pretty darn good financially. So now, I just always love it when people come up with something that maybe I or others haven't thought of in terms of all the possibilities in life, not just professional, but there are so many possibilities that we can't imagine because maybe we haven't been exposed to them. But you're right. If we can just kind of loosen up and let ourselves try some things, there's no telling what will come to it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to stop because this is your interview.
No, that's great. No, you're hitting right on it. And there's 2 points I want to make about that. Number one, your listeners need to know that for actors, professional actors, until you become a pretty decent-sized star, there is a whole lot more money in commercials than there is in film and episodic television, because you're working, you know, by the week in television or film, where in commercials, once you shoot the commercial and it continues to air, you receive residuals based on that.
Nothing.
So your commercials are an ongoing source of income. You work that one day, but it's passive income that continues for a while. And that is a great way to make a living, because you're not putting in the hours, but you're still continuing to do what you do.
Yay.
The other thing is, you notice how when you go to the movies these days and you watch a great movie, if you stay in the theater and watch the credits, the credits are now getting up to, you know, 5 and 6 and 7
yes,
minutes.
Yes, indeed.
And if you look at all those different jobs just to make that 1 hour and a half movie, your listeners can see that there are so many opportunities in the film industry alone that aren't just the star of the movie. There are hundreds and hundreds of people who contribute and make their living behind the scenes making that film happen.
And they have funny names like Best Boy and Grip and whatever. I know a woman who worked behind the scenes, and when she told me what she made, I thought, oh, forget this. Let me bulk up a little bit. She had to be strong to do what she was doing. Yeah. But it definitely paid off. And she had a regular, fairly steady job.
Yes.
You know, so, hey, it's absolutely true. I'm sorry, OB. Did you want to ask a question?
Creating opportunities and making sure you take control of your life so that you get the most out of this life. Because how long do we have on this planet? Why not enjoy it? Why not follow our dream? Why not make things happen? What are we waiting for? Take charge of your life and change your experience so that today and the next day are more and more joyous, more and more fulfilled, more and more successful.
You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO and the Stuart K. Robinson's It All Begins With I, The New Rules of Thinking and the Simple Secrets to Living a Rich, Joyous, and Fulfilled Life. Now, how do you enter these various occupations? You must have mentors at every level. There has to be some introduction into these arenas. And who are some of the mentors that helped you gain entry?
It's a great question, and pretty much every successful person that I have studied or followed, what they all share in common is that there was a mentor who at least gave them information or gave them access or introduced them to other people. I was fortunate, and you have to do the work. So when I first started my career, I was doing a lot of theater. So I was working very hard in the theater, mostly for free, showcasing my talents, making sure that I met people, networking in the industry. And very early on, Sylvester Stallone sent his casting director to see a show that I was in to see if she could find someone to fill a very small role in one of his films. And I was able to be cast in that role, and he took a liking to me instantly and immediately gave me more opportunities on that first film, which was called Paradise Alley, and then continued to hire me in future films from there. So I'm going to go back to the book and say that one of the things we talk about in the book is that the reason many people don't realize their dreams is they keep their dreams a secret. They keep the things that they need a secret rather than putting out what they need, rather than verbalizing what they hope to have into their lives. So if people will go around saying, I'm looking for a mentor, or I'm looking for an opportunity, or I'm looking for a class, or I'm looking for any kind of situation that will help them move closer to their dream, the more you talk about it, the more people hear it, and eventually someone's going to say, oh, my cousin works for a company that does that. I think I can introduce you. You need those networking opportunities, and you need to talk about your dreams. You need to put out what you want from the world, because people like to say yes. People like to help. People like to mentor, just as the two of you are using your time to help people become more enlightened, more positive, more powerful, more worldly, more literary. Everybody wants to say yes at some point, so you've got to put out what you need. A mentor will find you.
Right. Now, I am pleased that with all the other things that you do, that you have chosen to write a book. We librarians tend to like that, whether it's you know, print, digital, or whatever. And the good thing is that you have so many other things going for you that I'm thinking maybe you're not, your whole financial security is not based on this book. In the same way that people think that all actors are wealthy, a lot of people think that once you have a book out, that's it.
Right.
And that's not really it. So you couldn't have been doing it for the money. You have to have been doing it for the love. But then again, I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I have to, I do a number of things in order to make my living. And I wrote the book simply because it needed to be written. And the great thing about this book is, and I want to make clear, there's not really anything in this book that we don't already know is true. There are so many truths of life that are evident to us. But this book is the reminder. This is the book that I think that your listeners will quickly read. It's an easy read. Some of the chapters are only 2 pages. But this is that book you keep on your bedside table and you refer back to again and again, and you highlight it and you mark it. And you were talking about loving that people still write books. There's nothing like having a book in your hand. There's nothing like turning pages. And this book, you can take notes and you can highlight things. There's even a section in the back where we've added some pages so that you can jot down relevant thoughts, so that this book becomes kind of an owner's manual, a reference, a guidebook for life. And, as we all know, there's not a lot of profit in the arts and in literary, but sometimes a book just needs to be written because strange things going on in the world and people just need to have a better experience.
You're right. The book sounds like a tool. And, you know, what's lovely about doing this show is that, you know, people thought that black people didn't read until Oprah had her book club, and then it determined that everybody read, but certainly black people do. And I love the fact that when we, not just, I mean, African Americans certainly will not be the only ones to purchase your book, but it is lovely to know that when a book comes out that speaks to African Americans, that we do, you know, we support it. And I just, you know, I always think it's great to, you know, listen, it's great to whatever, but it's also great to come out and support the artists in whatever field they're in, whether you're an actor, a writer, a dancer, or whatever. But the arts are so important and so easily lost when I think of the difference between when I was in school, what was available, and what is available to young people now. It's just so important that we are aware of what's being created for us and that we support it, and that people have the heart and the love or whatever to just say, it's not just about the money, it's something that I need to share with someone, and I'm going to do it. You know, it's just wonderful to have creative people who are sharing, and I know that you all need a public that supports you, so I'm so happy that we can support you and certainly hope that others will do the same. We're getting kind of near the end of the road. There are just maybe one or two more rules that I'd like you to share. I kind of like number one, because that made me kind of stop and think about how I do things. So they're 14. We don't want you to tell them all, but if you right. could talk about that one and maybe one other that either OB might select or you might select.
I would like to also have him comment on rule number 12.
Okay, so you got number one, number 12.
Number one and number 12. Number one, you know, so many people I meet, they start to use words like I can't and oh, this I should never do and this didn't work and I tried this but I couldn't succeed, etc. We get a lot of advice in life from people and they say, oh, never do this and always do this and don't do this, etc. Where none of that is true. For every rule you've ever heard that includes never, there are people who have overcome those obstacles and found great success. So we change the rule. Rule number one says, I will take every rule I've ever been told that includes don't or never. Because think about don't and never. If I give you instructions about what not to do, what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the things that you don't want to happen. You're putting all your energy into the negative space instead of being able to put your energy into strategies that will move you forward. So I will take every rule that includes don't or never, and I will add the word badly at the end. So when people tell you, don't solicit your product door to door, you can solicit your product door to door, just don't do it badly. Don't threaten people, don't intimidate them, don't infringe upon their freedom and their time. Do it well, you'll make lots of sales and people will thank you for what you've done. Any rule you hear that says never or don't, the key is badly. Now, I do have to add in, I'm not talking about laws. Laws you have to follow. You can't do a law badly or well. You got to follow laws. But rules, the rule of don't talk too much about yourself when you first meet someone. No, don't talk too much about yourself badly. When you do it well, you enlighten the person, you intrigue them, you spark interest, you give them a sense of you and create a positive relationship. If you do it badly, you bore them and you become self-centered, etc. So okay. Every rule that says don't or never, add the word badly and then follow it. Don't do it badly. Do it well.
Got about one more minute or so.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, rule number 12.
Number 12 is an interesting rule. I will determine my habits. You know, we are what we do. So many of us, I ask people, what's their greatest habit? And some people say, well, I start every day with prayer, or other days I do yoga, or I meditate, or I go to the gym, I start with a healthy meal. Those habits shape who we become. So the good news is that we can determine our own habits. What two new habits would each of us need to add to our daily routine in order to move us closer to success? And what two or three habits that we have that are kind of getting in the way of our success could we take away? Let's determine our own habits, because those habits lead to what we create. I want to add one more thing and say that not only did I not write the book for profit, but I would love to hear from readers and listeners at StuartKRobinson.com, just to hear what they think and what's working for them, and success stories and how they've utilized this book to move forward, because I want to create a dialogue where we all start to take control of our own futures.
Wonderful. You do have a great website, and I will say again, www.StuartKRobinson.com. Thank you for bringing such a positive perspective to us. I'm now ready to go out, get the book, read maybe a rule every day, and start changing my life. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, for our listeners, the book is It All Begins With I, The New Rules of Thinking and the Simple Secrets to Living a Rich, Joyous, and Fulfilled Life by Stuart K. Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Now we know what's going on.
All right.
What's going on? Yeah.
Okay, and to our listeners, good reading to you, and you will hear us next month. Okay, thank you. Simply because our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Pick it flat.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral Eco Brew Pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver, available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. And also by a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients.